Kent Bazemore has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Look for him in the NBA. He came out of Old Dominion, which is in the Norfolk area as well. I went to college across the bay, and he and I were kind of talking about it a little bit. I'm interested in a quote that I saw from you. You said, "I've always worked hard." Where did that work ethic come from?
My mother, man. My mom worked 3 jobs. You know, she would get off at 10. She's a bus driver as well, so she would be up at, you know, she wouldn't get to bed till like midnight and be up at like 4 ironing my clothes to go to school the next day. And she would always say, you know, it's going to pay off, you know, just keep working. And that's all I knew. You know, I wasn't always, I mean, still not. I'm not the best shooter, not the best dribbler, not the best defensive player, you know, but I'm going to play hard. And, you know, whatever I lack in experience is what I'm going to make up with effort. You know, that's how I am. You know, I can't, you know, let my deficiencies be the reason why I can't succeed in this game, you know, when I can just go out here and play hard, you know, dive on the floor or outwork a guy for a rebound or get a steal or make a shot.
I can tell you, and every athlete who's African-American that I've ever talked to, interviewed, at some point they'll bring up their mother in the mm-hmm. discussion. What is it about the black woman in the family that is so important?
Just your backbone, you know. My mother's, I mean, I can't even put it into words how instrumental she's been, you know, with my growth as a person, you know, especially being away from home. You know, I'm 3,000 miles away, but, you know, it seems like she's right here with me. You know, we talk all the time. She's just like my rock, you know. Whenever I was going through something during the season, I could always call mom, you know, and she would always have the best excuse. Like, I'm her son, like, and she can always feel when something's wrong. Like, she'll watch me on the sideline. I'm jumping up and down every game, Bazemore, but she might see me for one play with, like, a frown on my face, and that, like, triggers something in her, like, hey, what's going on? Just mother's intuition.
The other thing I mentioned about you having a double degree from Old Dominion, that shows great focus, great discipline, and a commitment to knowing that after the career is over with in basketball, there's something. Where did that come from as well? I mean, was that a discipline that your mother said you're going to get an education?
No question. I remember I couldn't go to YMCA practice until I'd done my homework. So I get home at like 4 o'clock, YMCA practice at 6. I got social studies, I got math homework, and I got a bunch of reading to do. So I got 2 hours to get this done before I can actually leave, and it's a lot of work. So I get home and I get right to it. Like, I'm doing my homework. She would come home, she would take a break from work. Like, her second job, she would take a break, drive home, and make sure I got my homework done, then drop me off at practice on her way back to work. So that was just a thing, and it was like another pride thing for me too, because, you know, you go to college and you hear a lot of people like, well, athletes don't really care about class. Like, I remember the very first test I took. I walked in class with the Old Dominion men's basketball shirt on, and the person beside me, like, covered up her paper, like, like I wanted to look. And I was like, okay, that really made me so mad. And I get my test back, I get a 96, and she got like a 91. And I was just like holding it up, like, right in front of her so she could see it. Like, I don't need to cheat off you. Like, I'm gonna get my degrees on my own.
Yeah, she should have cheated off of you.
Yeah, come on, man. I'm a smart guy. I mean, I ain't dumb. I just look this way, you know?
What approach did you take to playing basketball, pro basketball, when you were not drafted? Because I'm sure you stepped back from it, Kent, and gave some thought to it. Okay, how do I approach this game, this dream that I want to have?
Well, I can honestly say my agent, Austin Walton, played a big part in that. He really was like, look, man, you know, you didn't get drafted, but, you know, you have some qualities that a lot of teams like. You're long, you know, you can defend, you know, you play with great energy, you're a great guy. So just take it and use that, you know, as a kind of crutch to keep you in the league. And, you know, that's what I did. You know, I'm always doing something with the community. Like, I'm showing up at camps, you know, I'm talking to kids, you know, I'm having contests on Twitter, you know, I'm just being a great person. And, you know, I'm in the gym every day. You know, I'm first one there, last one to leave some days, always around, you know, just trying to stick, you know, just trying to be a well-rounded guy. And I just kept working. You know, my jump shot is probably the biggest hole in my game. And Joe Boylan, who just got promoted to assistant coach and head of the player development, was a guy in my corner too. We worked out tremendously, like, all year, all summer.
But you bring something to the game that not every NBA player does, and that's defense.
Yeah.
And that is an attitude. The late Dennis Johnson and I were friends, and we talked a little bit about that. And he said, you know, when it gets to the fourth quarter, I want the guy I'm guarding to know I'm going to be inside his jersey next 12 minutes. Did you look and say, hey, wait a minute, this is the strength of my game, and so I've got to use that in order to get the opportunity?
Yeah, it's definitely – defense is definitely a mentality. I remember growing up playing in high school, you know, we would score, you know, like 45 points, you know, at the most a night. You know, we couldn't really score. No one on my team could shoot. We couldn't – you know, we weren't the best at executing an offense, so – we knew how to play defense, and if we can't score, you're not going to score. That's just always been my mentality. I mean, you're going to make it tough for me. Why can't I make it tough for you? And I just take pride in, you know, stopping guys, you know, just making their life miserable, you know, making them frustrated, like walking to the bench with his head down, you know, or like fourth quarter, he's on his hands and knees, like breathing hard, and I'm standing up like, man, let's go, like, let's do it.
Let me tell everybody out there, just give you a little bit of insight. Stitched inside on the underside of the tongue of his sneakers, of Kent's sneakers, is the number 499. Explain that.
Last year, coming to the season, ESPN ranked me the 499th best player out of 500 people. And people joke around. I was like, man, they probably had some dead guys up there ahead of you. But, I mean, it's just, you know, not being drafted, you know, they didn't really have, you know, like a huge database on, like, okay, maybe he's not number 499. I mean, he got undrafted. We saw him in summer league. He played solid. So we just gonna put at least he's on the list. Like 500 people out of the how many people in this world? That's a blessing right there. But that's just something I took. You know, I embraced. You know, being 499 for me is you know why I play a game of basketball. Like just to show people that. Whatever you rank, you know, it doesn't really matter. It's just about what do you do when you're on the court. Like, I play against lottery picks, you know, all that type of stuff this past week. And, you know, I'm number 499, you know. So, I mean, that's how great the NBA is. If I'm at number 499 and there's 498 people ahead of me, this is a very great league.
So you're aiming for 498, I assume.
Yeah, no question. I'm one step at a time, man.
Do you play with a chip on your shoulder because of that?
Oh, huge. I mean, a lot of guys look at you like, yeah, he undrafted. All right, whatever. I got drafted. I'm a lottery pick. You know, I'm supposed to have success in this league. It don't really work like that. It's about who's going to work harder. You know, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. You hear about all the greats. You know, everyone says they worked hard. And that's a great example to follow. Why shouldn't I work hard if Michael Jordan was the greatest ever play this game? He worked hard, and I want to be the greatest, so I'm gonna work hard too. I mean, it's right there in front of you. It's not rocket science that you got to work hard to be good in this league.
Let me share with you a comment that Michael made to me. He and I were talking, and I said, what is the measure of the great players, and no matter what the sport might be? And he said it best. He said, when the game is on the line, I want to be the one to determine the outcome. If I succeed, I'll take the glory. If I fail, I'll take the blame. And you know as well as I do, not everybody wants to take the blame if they don't succeed.
You can't be – that's one thing I've learned. You can't be afraid to fail. And, you know, I was in a lot of situations this past week, you know, with the summer league where, you know, that was the case. You know, all these, you know, in run for the MVP, people had me up for MVP, you know. It wasn't a lot of pressure, but, you know, I'm ready for that type of stuff. Like, I want to be that guy, you know, with – 6 seconds left with the game on the line with the ball in his hands. Like, that's just my drive. You know, I want to, you know, make that play or get that stop. Either way, offensively or defensively, if the guy got the ball on the offensive end, I want to be the guy in front of him that keeps him from scoring or flip-flop. You know, if it's our ball, I want to be the guy. You know, like, you can't run away from that stuff. And the guys that are afraid to fail won't last long.
Let me share with you another quote you made, and I thought this one was very, very telling about your personality and your approach to basketball. You said, I can take it up a notch defensively, being a more cerebral player on the floor, not playing like a rookie, being that glue guy for the Warriors. Now, one thing that tells me is that you like the brain aspect of the breaking down the game. You like the cerebral aspect. And also, you don't take any offense to being a defensive guy, being labeled that.
No, not at all. I mean – look, Tony Allen. Tony Allen is a great defender. You know, Ron Artest played great defense for a few years in the league. You know, Bruce Bowen. You know, these guys are defense-first guys. Like, at all costs, you could pit this dude on anyone. He's going to get a stop, you know. Like, and that's how you got to be. You got to be – people always say, you know, be aggressive on the offensive end. You got to be aggressive defensively. You know, you got to be in that guy's jersey. You can't be afraid to get a foul call, you know, from trying to run through a screen or, you know, holding a guy if he got a step on you. You know, those are the type of things that's going to make you an elite defender. You know, Bruce Bowen was called probably one of the dirtiest players in basketball, but he didn't care. Like, he's going to still show up. He's going to still, you know, plucking your items out if he has to, you know, those type of things. So, you just got to be, you know, a tough-hearted guy, you know, get the elbow to the face and just show up again. Like, that's all you got.
You happen to be on a very talented team, the Golden State Warriors. Great young talent. I mean, they've got Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes. What was the eye-opening moment for you when you joined that team, when you watched those guys and others on the floor?
Man, Steph Curry is special, man. Watching that guy play, just having a front row, like, ticket to the Steph. Like, Steph was doing some amazing stuff, and that's a guy that doesn't cheat the game. Like, he shows up, he works hard, you know, he has a family at home, you know, he does everything the right way, and it's just so gratifying to see, you know, a little skinny kid from Charlotte, North Carolina that went to Davis and, you know, just torched the NBA, like, kill. And Klay, the performances he put on some nights where he wasn't missing the basket, but, like, it's, like, 8 feet wide. You know, Harrison Barnes making plays, flying down the middle of the lane, dunking on people. It's just crazy, and it's a blessing, you know, because I had a contract signed over in the Ukraine right before I signed with Golden State. So Golden State had to buy me out, you know, all that stuff, you know, however that works. So I could have been over in the Ukraine, but I'm here in the United States in the best league in the world watching these players go at it, and it's a blessing.
I'm going to assume you're very, very happy that you're no longer a rookie, because how are rookies treated in the NBA?
Man, the whole popcorn incident was...
That's the one.
Yeah, it's probably going to stick with me forever.
Tell everybody about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, you know, as a rookie, if you don't play up to 20 minutes, you got to come in early the next day before practice and do some light conditioning, you know, get up extra shots, what have you. So I'm getting up shots. You know, I get in about 9:30. You know, I'm getting up shots. You know, I'm in the weight room lifting. I'm on the treadmill. And practice starts at 11. So I get done around 10:45, and I had this little Bazemore contest. Like, I had to meet group some fans right at 10:45, right before practice started. It was going to be quick, you know, get them in, get them out, take a few pictures, sign a few autographs. So 10:50 rolls around, no one's in the gym. And, all right, they're like, okay, yeah, we're done in here, so let's go outside, take a few pictures. I walk out this side door, and my car was parked. I remember my car is parked directly in front of the side door. I walk out. It's not there. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm not going to, whatever. I'm about to take these pictures and get ready for practice. So I look up, and I see my car with a tarp under it. I'm like, okay, still haven't put two and two together. As I get closer, all my teammates run out with, like, iPads and cell phones, like, laughing, ha, 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 ha. And I go open my door, and, like, pounds and pounds of butter popcorn just oozing out. I'm like, man, y'all are in trouble.
Other rookies will get theirs too at some point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Festus actually got his tires taken off. They left his car in cinder blocks. That was funny.
We only have about 45 seconds. What is it you like most about basketball?
I love the competitiveness, man. I love the gratification of, like, young kids, you know, actually looking up to you, you know. This guy tweeted me, like, don't forget me, you touched my shoulder today. Like, that's by far, like, it's crazy somebody could actually tell you that. Like, you mean that much to a child, you know, if you follow them back, if you tweet them. Like, the most gratifying part for me is having a voice now. That's the biggest thing for me.
And also, I would assume you keep the game fun, do you not?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. I'm jumping up and down, you know, I'm doing high fives. If I could do backflips, I would definitely incorporate that. Well, I can't, so we're going to keep that out for now.
Well, I want to compliment you, because not only for what you've done in basketball, you know, that's still going to grow, but what you did academically by getting those double degrees, because then no matter when the game ends, you walk off that court for the last time, take off that uniform, you've got a future ahead of you, and that really says a lot, not only about you, but about your mother as well, and you deserve to be complimented for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in and spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me, man.
Good young talent. Look for him around the NBA. Again, a wingman with the Golden State Warriors who went undrafted out of Old Dominion. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.